We are going to focus on the book of John this morning. So that will be where we start. There are many religions who cast doubt on the deity of Jesus. There are a number of them, for instance, Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus is the first of the creation, but that he himself is not God, just one of God's creation. Basically a super form of an angel in that sense. Others, like the Muslims, just see Jesus as nothing more than a very significant prophet in history, much like Moses. But again, nothing more, nothing special about that. But probably the best analysis of who Jesus really is found in the book of John. And John presents evidence that Jesus really is God. In John chapter 1, which is where we will be beginning, John chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning through him, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Jumping down to verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came into his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, so to them he gave them the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Jumping down to verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Notice the things that are stated in these passages. From the very beginning of John, he says that the Word, which is Jesus Christ, was with God. Beyond that, he was God. Now, I know there are a lot of people that's, especially among the Jehovah's Witnesses, that want to say that that translation is not correct. There is no other way to translate that in the Greek. It states that Jesus was God. Everything, if you didn't understand that, the next couple of verses say, everything in the world was created through him. Now think about it. Some people will say, well, he was the Son of God. But we're all sons of God. In fact, the president not too long ago got in trouble for that, when he said something about Jesus being a Son of God. We're all sons of God. Okay, what have you created lately? Created from nothing. Because Jesus created everything in this universe. The statement that he is the Son of God is not the same as saying that we are sons of God. It's not the same thing. He is the Son of God. In fact, that last verse that we stated that says he's the only begotten. The phrase in the Greek basically means he's one of a kind. He's unique. There is no other like him. Because he is God who came in the flesh. In fact, that same God who created this entire universe dwelt among us. And that by itself is fascinating. Trying to think of what that means. That God who created an entire universe became a part of his own creation. Now sometimes we talk about, somebody makes a robot. Okay, you make a whole group of robots and then you become one of them. That's hard to imagine. How do you do that? But this is what John says happened with God. God dwelt among his creation, became a part of us. And sadly, what the point of John is, that his own creation rejected him. Now, there's some evidence that Jesus is God beyond the mere statement that is true. In John chapter 1 and verse 45, we see that one of the aspects that we say think about God is God's everywhere. God, no matter what you're doing, wherever you're at, God is there to witness it. Now look at John chapter 1, start with verse 45. It says, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth and the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What was it that Nathanael realized about Christ that most people didn't grasp at first? Jesus, before he even was introduced to Nathanael, says, told him something about his character. Nathanael was basically ready to write that off, oh, that was a lucky guess. How do you know who I am? How do you know what I'm like? Oh, before Philip called you, I saw you underneath the fig tree. Nathanael realized, how does somebody who's in one spot know exactly where I was at in another place, in another time? He realized that's a characteristic of God. And said, you are the Son of God. It was a small point, but it was a significant point. In fact, that later was also demonstrated in John chapter 11. Jesus is on the other side of the Jordan from where they are at now. They're on the opposite shore from Jerusalem. And in John chapter 11, starting with verse 3, so the sister sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not even to death. For the glory of God is so that the Son of Man may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister in Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews just now seeking to stone you, and you are going to go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may waken him out of sleep. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. It's be like being in a different state. You're over in Illinois. You're told that somebody you really like is sick. Jesus says, that's all right. We're going to stay here for 2 more days. Okay, now we got to go. He's dead. How did he know? There's been no messengers yet. That all the disciples thought he was still ill. They thought Jesus was saying, oh, he's getting better because he's sleeping it off. But Jesus knew. He knew exactly when Lazarus died. is a mark of God, that he was present even when he wasn't physically there. Jesus also knew the hearts of people. We already saw that with Nathanael. He knew the character of Nathanael before even being introduced to him. But take a look at John chapter 2 in verse 24. Oops. Forgot to write that one down. John chapter 2 and verse 24. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. This was John's claim. He knew people. He knew what was in their hearts. That's a claim of being omniscient. Knowing what other people think. Knowing things other people don't know. Couldn't know. Take in John chapter 4, when he meets a woman at the well in John chapter 4, starting with verse 17, says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you are now have is not your husband. This you have said truly. Think about it. You meet somebody, a stranger, at a well, and the guy starts telling you not only about your current status, but also your entire history in detail. How did Jesus know? He just met the woman, but he knew her past. A little bit later in verse 28, John chapter 4, verse 28, so the woman left her water pot, went into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out of the city and were coming to him. I met a person, he knows everything about me. How could he possibly figure that out? It has to be that the fact that he's the Christ. There's one instance of one of the times when Jesus heals. It's also significant. In John chapter 4, and in verse 47, John chapter 4, verse 47, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at that point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. And as he was going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of him of the hour which he began to get better. And then they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed in his whole household. Jesus knew exactly the state of the boy, but he also healed somebody from distance. And we got some really good doctors, but I don't know of any that could heal somebody by just saying, he'll live, and not even be present, never even seen him. We got a lot of people who claim to be able to heal miraculously. And they get them all excited and all stirred up, and a lot of times it doesn't happen. I don't know any of them that actually just claims to be able to just say, yep, he'll live, and it'll be true. Jesus shows characteristics of God. Healing that was done, knowing the results without being present, it's another sign of his being all-knowing as well as being powerful. Jesus also made the claim of being the Son of God, made him equal to God. This is something that we sometimes overlook, but take a look at John chapter 5 and in verse 17. But he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." You got to think about what the statement that Jesus made. My Father is working, and I'm also working. He's claiming to do the same work God does. The Jews understood that. That's the reason why they were trying to kill him. But his statement was, basically, he indicated that he, as well as God, was working to sustain the world. Even as they spoke. Because Jesus says, "I'm doing it right now." Take a look at Colossians. Hold your finger here. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 17. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus pre-exists everything because he's eternal. The claim that Paul made, as well as what Christ stated, is that he's keeping this universe running. Everything continues because of Christ. He manages it. He works it. And he was doing it while he was here on earth. Because Jesus said, "I am doing it right now." Think about the power of Jesus. We don't have time to read all this. But in John chapter 6, Jesus demonstrates his power over creation by feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he still has 12 baskets of leftovers. Realize what that means? He made something that didn't exist. He made something that it was basically made copies of, but there's more food than they started with. Far more food. Also in John 6, he walks on water during a storm. He defies gravity, in a sense. He defies all those laws of flotation and stuff like that. He walks on top of the water. He raises Lazarus from the dead. He has power over the dead. There is no one. I've seen lots of people claim that they could do that if God so desired. Oh, I'm sorry, God never has answered that particular prayer. They tried. But there's no one who's raised the dead like Jesus. There's a claim here in John that Jesus is all-powerful, omnipotent. Now, there's also another claim that we need to examine, and that's the fact that Jesus says, "I am from heaven." Take a look at John chapter 6 and verse 38. "For I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, how many of you know where you came from before you were born? Now, I do realize there are Far Eastern religions that claim that you know, there's reincarnation and things like that. It was easily disproved from the scriptures, but Jesus says, "I came from heaven." Before he was born, he knew where he was prior. And it was in heaven, of all places. He doesn't just claim to be pre-existing in his world, he says, "I came from heaven." In verse 41 of the same chapter, "Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he says, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I came down from heaven? He has to be nuts. We know his parents. We don't know where we came from. Nobody else knows where they came from. How can you say that you came from heaven? Because they were saying it more in terms of after you were born. You had to gone there and come back. That's the only way you can claim to be from heaven. In verse 46 of the same chapter. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna that's in the wilderness, and they died. So this bread which comes down out of heaven, so that they may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Think about what again he's saying. He's saying, I not only came down from heaven, I know God personally. Before I came here, I was with God. You go through all the Old Testament, you'll notice one thing. No man sees God. Not since the days of Adam and Eve. You can't survive in the presence of God. No one can see God and live. Jesus is standing before them. He's living. He says, I know God. I've seen him personally. I came from him to hear. It's either a claim of an absolute nut or somebody who is come back what he says. It's because of this and a later claim that Jesus makes similar to this that the Jews were tempting to kill him. Take a look at John chapter 7 verse 28. John chapter 7 and verse 28. Then Jesus cried out in the temple teaching and saying, you both know me and know where I am from, and I have not come of myself. He who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. So they were seeking to seize him, and no one was able to lay his hand on him because his hour had not yet come. That's strong claims. I know God personally. I came from God. And I'm standing before you. If that wasn't strong enough, Jesus claims to be I am. Now there's an important reason that we need to take note of that. I forgot again to write the verse down, but in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, hold your finger here and go to Exodus chapter 3. And in verse 14, Moses asked God who he should tell the Israelites, sent him. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, this is what you'll say to the sons of Israel. I am has sent me to you. Who do I say is the one who's delivering this message? I am. Which is a perfect name for God. God exists. I am. He's eternal. I am. This is from the Jewish point of view and from everyone's point of view, this is the description of God. I am. Now take a look at John chapter 8, and unfortunately some of your translations mistranslate this. But in John chapter 8 verse 23, and he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, and if you notice in your translations, he is in italics. He did not use the word he. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus just claimed to be the I am that Moses talked to. He claimed to be God. In John chapter 8, in verse 50, it probably passed over people's heads. But in John chapter 8 and verse 50, but I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely you're not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up the stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. They didn't catch it the first time, but they definitely catch it the second time. Before Abraham was, I am. I exist. The name of God. But this is not the only time. In John 13 is another example of this. In John 13, verse 18, as Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, John 13, starting with verse 18, I do not speak of all of you. I know that the ones I have chosen, but it is that scripture which may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, that you may believe that I am. Not I am he, as some translation says. He says, so that you believe that I am. I'm telling you all of this is what's going to happen because I'm God. You won't understand it right now, but when you see it all come to pass, you'll realize that I am. In John 18, starting with verse 3, Judas then, having received the Roman cohorts and the officers from the chief priest, and the Pharisees came there with their lanterns and the torches and the weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazarene. And he said, I am. Again, the word he is not in that passage. Who are you looking for? I am. Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So he said to them, I am. They drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore, he said again, ask them, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus said, I told you that I am. So if you seek me, let these others go their way. Have you ever thought about why the response was when they came up to look for Jesus of Nazareth? Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. And most of the translation makes it sound like, well, I'm the guy. I am he. And they all fall down. It sounds strange that way. But if you realize the other way that is actually being stated, the way it's recorded in the Greek, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. And everybody falls down before him. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Those who were there to kill him fell on the ground in a pose of worship. Happened twice. How odd. Because Jesus called his name. See, truly Jesus is the fullness of deity in bodily form. Take a look at Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9. For in him, that's Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. There's people who have claimed that, well, when Jesus came on earth, he left all his godhood behind and became just exactly like us, giving up all traces of being a deity. No. John's point is that we see God in Christ. Because he was not just a man. All the fullness, according to Paul, of the deity is seen in bodily form in Christ. In fact, that's what his name means. Going to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. When the angels said that they were going to name him. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Who was Jesus? He was God who came to live with us. That's the point of what John is trying to get across. We're going to talk about this at further length this evening about what the book of John is about as a whole. But there's a point that we got to understand and grasp and carry with us. We do not worship a God who doesn't care, who just sits out and lets the world go, like the agnostics believe. We do not worship someone who is just a man who somehow impressed people. We worship the God who created the universe, who chose to come and live among his creation, even though his own people did not recognize him. That is our God. And that's the one we give praise to. There's an opportunity this morning, if there's anyone here who is not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren to have. Perhaps you have strayed away from the truth and would like to get back on track and like the prayers of your brethren. We make that opportunity offer to you at this time. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.